All right, tomorrow night, don't miss the 7th annual She Believes Cup. It's on ESPN and the app, with the U.S. women's national team playing the second match of the tournament against the Czech Republic. Our coverage starts at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific on ESPN. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, which is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, where you can pick up some wings anytime you would like to. And go ahead, Kmart. This has been the topic of a great deal of conversation.
You know what?
On Super Sunday. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say, as somebody who gets flack because she only likes the flat wings and like the little bony part of the wing,
yeah.
People kill me, so I am glad that you are now that guy. You are now that guy on Twitter because nobody should ever eat wings with a knife and fork.
We've gotten quite a good deal of mileage.
You've never stopped at Kmart. I could tell just by that photo. I could tell you have never stepped inside a Kmart
wings with a fork and knife.
Yeah. Yes. You got to pick it up. You got to get dirty with it. Like, it's okay.
No, it's not.
You don't
okay.
want to. You don't want to get sauce.
Not those
under,
manicure
but you don't want,
hands.
You don't want
no,
sauce.
No, I don't want sauce on my hand.
You don't want sauce?
Isn't it fairly obvious? That
after I have a wing, I smell a wing for like a week because it's in the beard.
Yes, and I smell it too, and that's the primary reason that I'm not interested in eating them with my hands. I could sniff you right now, and I'm telling you right now, I'm getting this thing right.
All right.
All right, with that,
yeah.
But we come to you live as always. This is Get Up above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We've gotten a lot of mileage out of those wings. All right, it's time to get up with Mike Mack, the Cowboys coach, opens up on all the heat from his boss. This is getting very interesting. We'll get to the bottom of it. Meanwhile, tick, 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 the clock about to strike midnight on the most important decision in sports. The very latest on the Aaron era is coming up. And is this man headed back to the arena? One of his teammates is here. We've got the insight as we get up with you, starting this hour right now with the Cowboys. After an early playoff exit, the seat has been hot in Big D for the head coach, Mike McCarthy. We know that Jerry Jones has been vocal about the disappointing end of the season. We've heard about Dan Quinn. We've heard about Sean Payton. Yesterday, McCarthy went on the Rich Eisen show and was talking about his relationship with Jerry Jones and his job security. Listen to this.
You know, Jerry's the owner, he's the GM, and I mean, he's always taken a 360-degree view of everything. We talked about it. We talked about Dan's situation. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. We discussed all these things. I never once felt that I was not going to be the head coach moving forward. And frankly, I've been at this long enough. That's all I'm focused on. And are these narratives unusual? Absolutely. I've never dealt with anything like this. At the end of the day, you're in charge of it. It's about the people you coach. And most importantly, it's about our locker room.
So you want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, I almost feel sorry for him. Many coaches will wind up on the hot seat for job performance, for not having or making bad decisions, whatever the case may be. That's fair. That comes with the territory. But this is completely different. The situation that has been created almost purposefully, or at least has not been avoided
right.
by the owner of the team, who is omnipresent, really is practically unprecedented. And so I almost do feel some sympathy. Let me ask you, Mike T. I'll start with you this time, because it almost feels like he's in a situation which he cannot win. There's almost no, I can't really see a scenario, unless this team just goes nuts next year and answers yeah. every possible question for yeah. him. I find it a very difficult thing to picture him coming out of this thing in a positive way. You've been in those rooms where it happened. What do you think?
Yeah, fundamentally, players gravitate to the people they know impact their paychecks. And ordinarily, that's going to be the head coach. In this situation, it's clearly Jerry Jones, and it destabilizes the whole organization because of it. And the other aspect of this dynamic that you could just ooze, the frustration is oozing out of Coach McCarthy, is when you talk to people in the league that have worked at Green Bay, they don't have an owner. He's now going from one extreme to the other with the most hands-on owner. So he's never experienced this. He's frustrated. But as it impacts the team, Green, make no mistake about it, players, they're not idiots. They know what's going on, and they're going to worry about what Jerry Jones thinks much more than what Mike McCarthy thinks.
Well, it's just amazing. And again, Ninko, you played in – he's used the word destabilizing. You played in the most stable franchise imaginable. I mean, maybe the Patriots and the Steelers in a different way. But at no point was Robert Kraft going to come out and say, well, look, Josh McDaniels has made it clear to me he wants to be the head coach, so let's just see what happens next year. And, you know, maybe Bill will be here, maybe he won't. Can a coach – who has to be an authoritarian figure, who has to be the leader, can he lead? Has his ability ability to be the leader of that group been compromised by all of this?
Of course he can lead. Of course he can. And listen, I wasn't with the Patriots my whole career. I was down in Miami in 2007 when they were 1-15. Mm-hmm. Now that, thank you, Greg Camarillo, for the slant pass against the Ravens to not make us an 0-16 team and go down in history as the first team to lose every game. So, but just thinking back to that point, there was dysfunction, right, from the top down. And the head coach had trouble having the whole team buy into the message and buy into exactly what they were trying to do. And that's why they lost. So as the head coach, you definitely have the ability to influence your team and lead your team to being disciplined, number one, which discipline and lack of discipline is a consequence which results with penalties, false starts, and they had the most penalties of any team. So it has to start from the head coach, but it also the ownership. Maybe Jerry needs to realize, like, he could have squashed this a long time ago, just saying, Mike McCarthy's our head coach. End of story.
Right.
But he didn't.
And he knows enough to know what he does when he doesn't.
The interesting thing that McCarthy said was they talked about the Sean Payton thing.
Right.
Which Sean Payton just retired.
Right.
Why would you talk about that knowing he's possibly heading to Dallas?
Who wins the Super Bowl next of people who just retired in the last week? Sean Payton or Tom Brady? Later on, Get Up. Let me ask you this. Nico made the point earlier. What Mike McCarthy needs to do is pound the table and say, I'm the coach of this team, damn it. If he did that.
I'm the coach.
I'm looking at the coach. What would the reaction be?
I'm the coach.
Come on. We would not. I'm the captain of the ship. No, you're not. This is the problem. It's almost like a neutered situation because he does not have the power to be like, I am the guy. And because Jerry Jones is the one who purposely has this situation in this weird sort of nebulous, undefined status. He's the coach for right now. But no one would believe Mike McCarthy if he said, yeah, of course I'm the guy. Stop asking me these questions. The fact that they're even talking about Sean Payton, the fact that they're even talking about Dan Quinn, and he's doing interviews about his job status, and Ninko said this earlier, these questions will continue, not just in week one, but from OTAs until the end of the season. And the season is either going to end in disappointment for the Cowboys or them winning a Super Bowl. And that's just a difficult spot for this team to be in, and these players especially.
I always go back, Mike T, to the late, great Marty Schottenheimer, when he worked here at ESPN, when he was in between coaching stints, once said to me, the coach cannot succeed if the players are looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Meaning if there's anyone standing behind him who they can look at and that can't succeed. That is the case here. Can they be successful that way?
It's really difficult. It's self-inflicted wounds. Again, players will gravitate to people that impact their paychecks. It's that simple, and Coach Schottenheimer's legacy continues to this day. And if I was Jerry Jones, I would empower Mike McCarthy and never look back. But to Kmart's point, he's not going to fly back from Oxnard if they don't get this penalty situation cleaned up, because it's a manifestation of his lack of control that this team is so undisciplined on the field.
Look, keeping Dan Quinn in the building adds to that as well, because they have an experienced head coach sitting right there.
So
this doesn't have to be an end of the season question. This could be a week two question, depending on how things go. All right, so that's that scenario. I just brought up the MVP stuff, or at least the Brady of it all. Now, the MVP, the list of MVP favorites right now is fascinating. All right, fascinating from Caesars. Third on the list for next year's MVP is 9-1. It's Josh Allen. All right, that one makes a lot of sense. He was magnificent this season, obviously, elevated it in the playoffs. Candidly, I'm surprised he's not actually the favorite, because he feels to me like he should be the favorite. Instead, these two are co-favorites at 7-1. Patrick Mahomes, by his standards, sort of a slow start to last year, but then they finished 9-1 in their final 10 games. And then the two-time reigning MVP is Aaron Rodgers. If he were to win it again, he would become the only player besides Brett Favre to win MVP in three consecutive years. Now, Favre won it all three times in a Packers uniform. For Rodgers, I guess we'll have to wait and see. You see the leaders up there, as always. It's all the quarterbacks that you see. Burrow is on there, and Justin Herbert. The only player in the top 10 in the odds who's not a quarterback is Derrick Henry in Tennessee. But let's focus in for a minute here on the Rodgers of it all, because we did a pretty good job, I think, yesterday of establishing a timetable. The first week of March, March 8th, is when they have to decide on franchise tags. So that greatly impacts Devontae Adams, which means the Packers and Rodgers, it's in their best interest to have a sense of what the future is going to look like by that date. That's less than 3 weeks away. So, Mike T, what's going on right now if you're running the Green Bay Packers? What's happening in their office?
We're going out to California. We're sitting down with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to be great listeners. We're going to ask, what is it going to take economically, non-economically? As Hembo pointed out, the last 4 years with Drew Brees, the Saints had the best record in the NFL. We're going to run the same model. We're going to push out the cap chargers. Devontae's coming back. Devondre Campbell, you tell us what else we need from a football standpoint on the field and then off the field. Let's look at the calendar. We don't need you here in the spring. You could come late in the summer. You could throw once a week. And we're not leaving until we're aligned both on the field and off the field.
Okay, so that makes all the sense in the world. And they'll try as hard as they can to keep him because that makes all the sense in the world. But this was something I told you we would bookmark in our first hour that I wanted to come back to. Because Kmart brought up the real point here, which is, it's going to come down at the end of the day to whether Rodgers wants to be there or not. And if he doesn't want to be there, he has the ability to make things very complicated. So, Mike T, I'm now making you Brian Gutekunst, who is the general manager there. And Aaron comes into your office or wherever it is, and he says to you, you know what? I've just decided I want to move on. I want to take my career elsewhere. It's not you. Whatever it is, he says. He wants to go.
It's you, not me.
Now what do you do?
Ironically, Greeny, I was on the other side of that conversation 10 years ago, and here's what happened. When Green Bay said they were going to trade Brett Favre, they knew they were sitting on gold, ironically, with Aaron Rodgers. This is totally different. They traded up for Jordan Love, and they have massive question marks. He's not a bust. It's just a grade of incomplete. So if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I have to trade Aaron Rodgers. We just have to cut our losses. But now I'm in the scour mode. I got to scour every opportunity. Jimmy G, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I got to know these quarterbacks in depth in the draft because I can't go into the season just with Jordan Love, which is unfortunate for them. Their plan, while well thought out, just hasn't worked out because Jordan Love isn't Aaron Rodgers' heir apparent, much the way Rodgers was for Favre a decade ago.
But to the point, if he says he wants out, you do trade him because they could try and force him to retire. They could, quote unquote, call his bluff. You trade him.
You have to. It's untenable to do anything else.
Okay, fair enough. So what do you think of all this, Nico? We've got 3 weeks until this thing is going to get decided. At least the beginning of it will be put in place one way or the other.
Man, it's tough because it's up to Aaron. It's up to Aaron Rodgers. Like, where does he want to be? Does he want to go to a warmer climate? Does he want to stay in Green Bay? I feel like he has the power at this point to either stay with Green Bay or to move on from them. And unfortunately, if you're management trying to make these decisions, it's up to him, and you're kind of going to be the one looking foolish if you do trade him and he goes off and he wins the Super Bowl and you start to lose a bunch of games.
It's so fascinating because in the offseason, when we would have these discussions about Aaron Rodgers and we would say Aaron has all the leverage, when I would talk to people in the league, they'd be like, Aaron doesn't have any leverage. His team keeps him. Like, that, the team does not have to move on from him. And I'm curious what Green Bay will want to do. I hear Mike saying, you know, it's untenable. They have to trade him. But like Ninko was saying earlier, you don't want to be the person in the front office that gives up one of the
greatest.
But
when you say, very quickly, because I'm going to run out of time, when you say they don't trade him, people think that they don't, then what do they do? He walks in there, he's got this monster cap hit that they negotiated, so he can make it untenable financially for them. What do they do?
I mean, do you want to see him walk out the door?
Of course not. But Mike is saying basically you're going to be left with no option. You said it earlier. If there's two people in a marriage and one of them wants a divorce, you're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Right?
It makes more sense to get assets for him now. But just the idea that you would be the person that says goodbye to Aaron.
For all the talking we have done about this going back to the end of last April, this thing is going to happen one way or the other in the next 2.5 weeks. So stay tuned. In the meantime, Tom Brady for MVP. It could happen. This man is retired. And there are odds, and they're not that long, on him being the MVP of the league next year. We'll get to the bottom of why. Plus, don't miss it. McShay's Mock 2.0 is next. We'll ask him which quarterback could rocket up the draft boards and change somebody's fortunes quickly. He's next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Your wake-up call this morning comes courtesy of South Carolina. Overtime buzzer beater. Let's do it.
Kuznard gets rid of it. Reese the heave. Oh! Oh! It's good!
Oh!
A what South Carolina shocker! James Reese calls game. And the Gamecocks are going to take a W back with them back to Columbia.
That's a great one there. Meanwhile, the end of the football season means it's time for McShay's McBoard. He's got the latest mock draft. It's up. It's 2.0. Here's his top three. The Jaguars have the first overall pick. For the second straight year, he has them taking the huge left tackle Evan Neal out of Alabama to protect Trevor Lawrence. Then the Lions pick it at number two. He has them looking right in their backyard there with Michigan's Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end who set a single-season sack record for the Maize and Blue this year. And then at number three, Todd has the Texans bolstering their secondary with the safety Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame. He would be the first safety taken in the top five since Eric Berry in 2010. Now, these drafts tend to be defined, of course, by their quarterbacks, and these are the quarterbacks he has coming off the board. None inside the top 10. The first one he has is Pitt's Kenny Pickett going to Washington, who now known as the Commanders. Then the Steelers at 17 trading up to take Malik Willis. He's from Liberty. Matt Corral from Ole Miss and Sam Howell from North Carolina at the very back end of round one. That's how he sees the quarterbacks, and here he is. McShay and the McBoard are ready to go. Mock draft 2.0. McShay, thank you as always. Let's talk about Willis. Malik Willis, again, quarterback out of Liberty. You have the Steelers moving up to take him. I felt all along he's the guy that teams are going to talk themselves into falling in love with through this process. For the lot of fans that have not seen him, tell everybody about Malik Willis.
He's a dynamic athlete. That's what you get first and foremost. He's a guy who can extend plays and legitimately give you a numbers advantage in the run game. That's why I think the Steelers could possibly move up for him, because they have a great defense. They have a strong run game. Let's lean in on that. Where he has to improve upon, even though he has the biggest arm of all the quarterbacks in this class, is his efficiency inside the pocket. He's got to, as his head coach said, Hugh Freeze, coming out of Liberty, I talked to him for a half hour on the sideline at the Senior Bowl. He said he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. There's going to be a learning curve for him in the NFL in terms of understanding what defenses are trying to do to him. Now, the good news is, because of that mobility, he can get himself out of a lot of trouble, but it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, as I said, for him. It might be 2 or 3 years, a little bit like Jalen Hurts in terms of the development of him becoming a complete quarterback. But right away, you get a guy, if he makes a mistake, who can get himself out of those mistakes with his unbelievable mobility and explosive speed.
Yeah, that's the point. Maybe if you're the Steelers, you get a veteran in there to sort of bridge the gap, if you will, because a lot of people don't believe that maybe Malik Willis will be ready immediately. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. That's the Eagles. They have 3 first-round picks. As you talk to all the folks that you talk to, what is your sense that quarterback could be in the offing with one of them?
Well, I think it's the veteran route if the Eagles are going to go quarterback. They've got the currency. They have more currency in this year's draft than any other team with the 3 first-rounders. But if it's not, let's say, Russell Wilson, making a trade to go get a veteran that is proven to be better than what you already have in Jalen Hurts, I don't think you're going to draft one of these quarterbacks this year. To me, you got picks 15, 16, and 19. Go get better around Jalen Hurts. I had him taking N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker from Georgia, defensive end, Trayvon Walker, another Georgia player. And then at 19, I had him taking Treylon Burks, the Arkansas big wide receiver. So get better on the defensive side, get another weapon for Hurts. Because I don't think, even if you draft Malik Willis, all you're hoping for with Willis is that it becomes a little bit of a better version than Jalen Hurts. And you're a playoff team. So to me, it's go veteran route and get a guy that you know is a better player than Hurts in the NFL, or just use these picks to go all in with Jalen Hurts.
Now, let me ask you one more on this. I agree with that, by the way. Which quarterback do you think of all those in this class has the best chance to move up and wind up in the top 10?
I'll go with Kenny Pickett for two reasons. First of all, a couple teams kind of jump out. They are in a little bit of a win now mode. Carolina Panthers at 6 because of Matt Rhule. The clock is ticking. And then Denver at 9 because they have a pretty good team around the quarterback position. They need an upgrade. Malik Willis, as I said, is a project coming out of Liberty. Kenny Pickett with 50 starts, processing as quickly as he does, he could have, if put in the right situation, a Mac Jones type of rookie year. He's NFL ready. He doesn't have the biggest arm like Malik Willis. He doesn't have elite mobility, although he can maneuver around the pocket. But to me, Pickett makes sense because a couple of those teams, like I said, Carolina at 6, Denver at 9, could be looking to plug someone in and play him right away.
That's interesting. Do I have Tannenbaum's? Oh, beautiful. I want to bring Mike T in this. And Todd, stay there because I want to ask you the same question, Mike, because that was one of the questions that I wanted to bring in here is, if there's a quarterback who's going to have a Mac Jones-esque year, which is to say start a playoff game this year, which one of the quarterbacks in this class, Mike T, would you see it being?
Yeah, I agree with Todd. It's Kenny Pickett, 49 starts, had a really productive senior year. The difference, though, between him and Mac Jones is Mac Jones has a higher ceiling. Kenny Pickett has a really high floor. He's ready-made. I keep saying I think he's going to walk across that facility in Pittsburgh, be drafted by the Steelers, and with that defense, they could go to the playoffs this year, Greeny. The problem is Kenny Pickett isn't dynamic enough, in my opinion, to say that he's going to be a frontline, long-term, high-end starter in the league.
Yeah, you start get used to hear those terms, you know, high floor, low ceiling, all those kinds of things. We're getting into draft time. And Tannenbaum, let me come to this. If you're a general manager in the NFL right now, how does this quarterback class, as it is constituted, affect the way you are approaching the quarterback decisions you make?
Massively. 12 teams need starters, Greeny. The next month between the start of free agency and the draft is going to be wild because everyone's seeing the same thing that Todd just alluded to, which is it's just not the same class it was a year ago. So if you need a starter short-term or long-term, you're looking the veteran route because there's more questions than answers in this year's draft with the quarterbacks.
And how about the guys down at the right end of that screen, Todd? Let me give you the final moment that we have here. Matt Corral, Sam Howell. There's the kid Desmond Ridder also coming out of Cincinnati that you have falling out of the first round at this stage. He'll hover in that neighborhood there. Give folks who might draft those players just a quick sense of what they have.
Yeah, Matt Corral is undersized, and he's had some durability issues, and that's only a concern because he running the football is part of his game. But he's a winner, he's a leader, he's tough, he's competitive, he does have that mobility, and he has a big arm. He can make all the throws in the NFL. Howell is interesting, Sam Howell out of North Carolina, because he's not that tall, just over 6 feet, but he's big, he's strong. He, like Corral, is a competitive, tough runner. He has a big arm. He's the best deep ball thrower in this class. And I think a team like Detroit, it's so blue-collar and tough and built on that mentality. I think they could wind up falling in love with a guy like Howell because he's everything that they embody. So with that second first-round pick at number 32 overall, that could be a good choice for the Lions. And remember, you get to lock him in for a fifth year as a first-round draft pick.
Here it is. It is McShay's McBoard. The mock draft 2.0. It is, to me, it's a holiday, so I will spend the rest of the day looking at this. And Todd, I'll talk to you on the radio a little bit later today as well. Thank you, McShay. We'll take a short break here as we continue. Could this man be re-entering the arena? We have one of his former teammates here today. We'll get into the Tom Brady decision. But first, Harden for Simmons was the biggest trade of the NBA season, biggest trade in years. What did Adam Silver think of the way it was handled? I'll ask him that and more. He's live next here. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and we are headed this weekend into the NBA All-Star break, and it's been a fascinating first half and then some. The Suns are the best team in the sport, followed by the Warriors. They've really separated themselves in the West. The Lakers, who were a preseason favorite, have struggled. They've lost 7 of 10. LeBron James has been in and out of the lineup with injuries of a variety of sorts, and their defense has not been good at all. And then the league is waiting now to see the impact of the enormous trade of last week that sent James Harden to Philadelphia and Ben Simmons to Brooklyn. Harden should return after the break. The return of Ben Simmons is not quite yet clear, and we are delighted to welcome the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, good enough to join us live here as we head into All-Star Weekend, which our friends at TNT will have all the coverage for you there. Commissioner, thank you, as always. And I want to start with the trade, because that obviously was enormous. This was one of the biggest trades that any sport has seen in a long time. And I saw you quoted in an interview with Yahoo that said that you, quote, wish it had been handled differently. How so? What did you mean by that?
Well, first of all, you always hope those situations don't play out publicly. I recognize that there are going to be situations where guys are unhappy and or teams are unhappy with them. But ideally, when players want to get traded or teams are preparing to make moves, those are conversations they have confidentially with players, they have confidentially with other teams. And obviously in this case, it not only played out publicly, but it's been playing out since the season even began, particularly with Philly.
Mm-hmm. Which I get. Now, here's the part of this, and you and I have had this conversation before. I was on record for a long time as saying, I think all of this superstar movement is bad for the sport. And candidly, I feel as though I've been proven wrong. I would be fascinated to know what the data shows about the impact it has on your fans when superstars change teams. We're in a different era now where I feel like people root for the players as much as they do root for their home team sometimes. What does the data show about the way it impacts fans when superstars move around?
Well, first of all, I think we've all changed our view. I remember David Stern's sort of standard mantra was he would say Larry, and you'd say Boston, he'd say Magic, he'd say I, he'd say Michael, and you'd say Bulls. But that was a different time. And now what we're seeing in the league, first of all, shorter contracts, which I don't think is a bad idea, because one of the things we tried to do working with our Players Association back beginning around 10 years ago was tie performance to pay in a closer way. And I think that's what you see with shorter contracts. So the data shows that superstars moving isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it allows bad situations to, in an orderly way, to change. It gives teams that may not be in a competitive position hope that they can sign one of those players. But shorter contracts to me is something very different, and free agents moving at the end of contracts is different than what we just saw, where you have players actively seeking to move while they're under contract. That I think the data is clear on that. That's not good for the league.
Fair enough. Let me move on to something else here. And it's a sensitive subject, of course. But, you know, Kyrie Irving's decision not to be vaccinated has had a major impact on the season in so many different ways. And the circumstances around COVID shift around so much. I think a lot of fans would be curious to know what, if anything, you know about where we should expect vaccine policies to be by the time, for example, we get to the NBA playoffs.
Honestly, I have no inside information. I'm here in New York, and that's where that ordinance is in place that has the direct impact on Kyrie. I'll say, just stepping back, while it's been the league's position that we wanted to see every player vaccinated and boosted, that's not something the Players Association was willing to do. Having said that, though, we got to voluntarily 97-98% of our players boosted and vaccinated, and then the vast majority of them are boosted. This law in New York, the oddity of it to me is that it only applies to home players. I mean, I think if ultimately that rule is about protecting people who are in the arena, it just doesn't quite make sense to me that an away player who's unvaccinated can play in Barclays, but the home player can't. So to me, that's a reason they should take a look at that ordinance. I'll say also, again, being here in the New York market, feeling particularly in the last week, many of the masking restrictions are being lifted. Mm-hmm. You can just feel it in the city. There are more people in restaurants, more people out and about. And so while, you know, again, my personal view is people should get vaccinated and boosted, I can imagine a scenario where Brooklyn, as part of New York City, With a new mayor now who wasn't in place, Eric Adams, when that original ordinance was put in place, I could see him deciding to change along the way and say it's no longer necessary to have a mandatory vaccination requirement. As I said, particularly one that only affects home players.
That's why I asked, and I understand that these it's not your decision to make, but I live here as well, and so I'm seeing the same things you're seeing, and it's something we've speculated about a good deal. Let's move on to something else entirely. I think in part as a way of adding more excitement and meaning to your regular season, you've talked a lot about a mid-season tournament in the NBA. It's still a concept I don't think most fans fully understand. What can you tell us about that or any other ideas you may have to add emphasis to regular season games?
Well, sure. I'll begin with the play-in tournament, which is to us is still part of the regular season as opposed to part of the playoffs.
Right.
As you know, that was something we started two seasons ago. So It allows the teams in ninth and tenth place to play in against 7 and 8. And we think that has worked to create additional competition, particularly in the last month of the regular season, because, again, it gives teams hope that may have decided to give up, may have had a player out for an injury and thought that just at this point they weren't going to make the playoffs. Now they can be in the 10th position and squeeze in the playoffs. So that, we think, has been very effective. In terms of the mid-season tournament, I think since we last talked, I've morphed to calling it an in-season tournament as opposed to mid-season, only because as we're looking at different models, it may not fall right smack center at the middle of the season. But the notion is, you know, I've said this before, trying to steal a page, particularly from European soccer, where they have other trophies that they play for. And the ideal would be to take nothing whatsoever away from the Larry O'Brien trophy, our championship trophy. But in what is increasingly a long regular season, particularly as you look at how people's habits change over time, getting people to sit down for 2.5 hours to watch a game isn't necessarily consistent with the way people watch sports or any events these days. And to say, let's find some games in the regular season, probably still within the same footprint we're operating in now. So the season would start roughly around the same time and around the same time. But then maybe convert some of those regular season games into what we'd call a mid-season tournament and begin a new tradition of something that players care about, teams care about, something to win. Again, not the Larry O'Brien trophy, but yet something probably secondary to that, but something that maybe you'd see just players go into that extra gear for that competition. And by the way, it's not just European soccer. College basketball, I'm a big fan there. And there's a history, too, of playing tournaments around holidays and other things where teams bring their best game and really want to win.
You are a big college basketball fan, as anyone who's been around you knows. How are you going to manage without Coach K on the sideline, by the way? I all the Duke guys, I got J.J. Redick around here all the time. How in the world are you going to live in a world in which Coach K is not coaching Duke next year?
I don't know. I'm still, you know, I'm planning to go down for that last game against Carolina. That's all I can say. It's been an incredible run. Greatest coach of all time in college, maybe in all of basketball. And I'm hoping he stays involved in the game because he still has a lot to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just a little fun one on the side. Okay, speaking of a little fun one on the side, I mentioned that this weekend is NBA All-Star Weekend. The whole shebang shifts over to Cleveland for that. Our friends at Turner will have all of the coverage of that this weekend. I'm sure the action will be great. And it brings up for me, Commissioner, and I'm not sure how well you remember it, but at least one terrible memory in 2014. Do you have any recollection of what happened to me that year?
I have a recollection, and I think your folks should roll the tape. There was a shot that you made. You took. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said
yeah.
made. And I'm not quite sure that you hit anything
right there.
Right.
I came up just a tad. Just a tad short on that. I was supposed to be spotted up. Let me explain. There's a lot of laughter in the studio we could do without. Jalen Rose was my coach here, Commissioner, and he told me, Greeny, we're going to spot you up for a three. And tragically, I'm actually inside. I'm a good foot inside the line there. The form is good, and unfortunately, this came up a little bit short, so that was not my best moment. But the following year, Commissioner,
Greeny,
I got to be
my
the
recollection
coach.
Is... Yeah. That's what I was going to say. My recollection is we moved you on to coach the next year.
That's correct. I played so well, you made me the coach the next year. And that was a great success. That is me. That's like the dream of my lifetime. I'm coaching. That Carmelo Anthony was my assistant coach, by the way, in that game. And we were coaching at the Garden there, and my team lost a heartbreaker. We gave up an offensive rebound on a free throw at the end to a guy from a band I'd never even heard of. So that was a horrible moment for me. But that's neither here nor there. One way or another, what should the fans be looking forward to this weekend in Cleveland for the All-Star festivities?
Did you just ask me something? Sorry.
Yes. What are you looking forward to most and the fans looking forward to this weekend in Cleveland for all the All-Star stuff?
Sorry. Most of all, I'm looking forward to the 75 greatest players being in town. I always remind people that this is such a young league when you think about it. Imagine if the baseball commissioner could call Babe Ruth. To me, that's what it's like, me being able to get Bill Russell on the phone. I mean, the fact that now we're going to be able to celebrate these 75 greatest, bring them out at halftime on Sunday, I think it's going to be one of those moments that sends chills down our spine that fans of all generations will remember. I was there 25 years ago in Cleveland when we did the 50th anniversary, and it was a similar effect. So for me, sort of just having been around the game for a long time, I think that's what will be most special.
Oh, absolutely. That'll be a fantastic night. Commissioner, it's always a pleasure to see you. Best of luck this weekend with everything, and then we'll check in as we go down the stretch and get ready for the playoffs. Thank you very much for the time this morning.
Thanks, Mike. You and I will stick to our desk jobs.
Okay, fair enough. That was not the greatest athletic moment of my entire life. Thank you to Adam Silver. We got good games tonight. We got our doubleheader tonight. I'll be back here with the crew for NBA Countdown. We've got the Nets and the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern, and then our West Coast primetime game. We got a very interesting matchup. Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz taking on LeBron and AD and the Lakers in L.A. Our coverage will start again. NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern here on ESPN. We hope that you will be with us. As we continue in just a moment, we're asking our crew to fill in the blanks on the futures of the biggest superstars in the NFL. Let's see what they came up with next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and let's play a little game of fill in the blank, the retirement edition. So, Kimberly Martin, yes. When we get to August, fill in the blank. Aaron Donald will be...
He will be preparing for this season. I know all the retirement talk, but Von Miller, his teammate, said it best. When you win a Super Bowl, like, this feeling, it's addictive. Aaron Donald, he's too good to hang it up just yet.
All right, Mike T, you are next. In August, fill in the blank. Aaron Rodgers will be...
A Denver Bronco. It's all lined up, Greeny. Nathaniel Hackett, his OC, is now a head coach of the Broncos. It is tailor-made for him to go there, closer to California. You could write that in pen. He will be a Bronco in August.
Write it in pen.
It does feel like the way it's trending. I agree. AF DeNico, in August, your old buddy Tom Brady will be...
Throwing a football on a beach in August. He will not be in training camp at that point. He will probably have Alex Guerrero with him, lengthening the muscles, getting flexible. Preparing for the season.
Okay.
So in August, he'll be on the beach getting ready, throwing the ball left and right.
Well, I want to make a point, and let's put the graphic up there, because Caesars Sportsbook puts up odds on people to win MVP next year.
Fantastic.
And they have odds on Tom Brady, and they're not that long.
I love it.
This man is retired.
He's 45-1 to be the MVP.
No one believes he's retiring, Greeny. No one believes it.
He has shirts that say, keep going.
Well, let me ask you this question, Nico.
He's going.
He's your teammate. He's your guy. He's your boy.
I get it.
I know how much you like him and all that stuff. And you were the one who told us a few weeks ago, long before anyone else was talking about it, that you wouldn't be surprised if he retired. They laughed at you, and obviously no one's laughing
now. They're not going to laugh.
So let's get all that on the table.
Yeah.
Having said all that, he could easily shut this down, right? I mean, he's a calculated person. You know that better than anybody. Mm-hmm. He knows that people are hanging on every word he says. Hmm. So when Jim Gray asks him about this, he could easily say, Jim, what part of I'm retired is not clear
he could,
here?
He
very purposely doesn't do that. What should we take from that?
Listen, it's calculated, right? There's things, there's Brady brand clothing, hoodies, money to be made, right? And
there's
just
a movie.
Keep us on the line. We're, you know, tugging away on us. I do believe that at some point, I 100% think that Tom Brady will get a phone call from a team in week, I don't know, 2, 3, 4. Hey, Tom, just checking in. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you in shape? Would you have any interest in coming to play for us? Because there's a need. So now it's going to be up to Tom to come out of retirement and to play football. And I think that he will be tempted. He will be tempted. It's really hard to go off on your own way. When you're playing football, usually you're hurt or somebody else tells you you're not good enough. Tom just threw for, 5,000 yards?
Yeah.
He's going to be tempted, and a team's going to call him.
I need a documentary. 100%. I need it to air on Disney Plus. I need it to air on Disney Plus. Like, book it now. Like, I need behind the scenes right now. We're going to get shots of Tom at home with the kids, and Giselle's going to be like, oh, hey, Tom, like, take out the garbage. And you're like, what? Take out the garbage? What?
Yeah.
And then it's going to fast forward to he's getting the calls. Tom, do you want to come back? And then you see him working out, and then all of a sudden it gears up to Tom Brady finally coming back to some team.
Hmm. I'm being told some news in my ear that I'll get to in just a second here, but I wanted to pick up on that thought. That wouldn't be called man in the arena. It'd be called man in the house. And that's a very different place to exist. But Mike T, there is a template for this, right? If Brady does want to play and wants to play somewhere else next year, the first step is to retire. And you lived this with Brett Favre a decade ago, yes?
Absolutely. And basically, Tampa Bay will have his rights. And let's say this scenario plays out and he wants to go from being the man in the house to the man on the field. They will have to either trade him or release him. And that's where it gets really interesting because let's say he wants to go to San Francisco on a one-year deal. Tampa Bay could really muck things up because they could just say, hey, we're not going to do it. And it could get kind of ugly quick. So we'll see how that plays out. But if he says, I'm retired from Tampa and I want to go to San Francisco, they do have his rights. We had that with Brett Favre. He wanted to go to Minnesota. We drafted Mark Sanchez and never looked back. So it could get a little, the works could get gummed up here, no question about it.
Yeah, that to me is the play here, if he wants. And I keep going, look, I know that I'm just parsing every little word, but it's impossible not to do it when this happens. His much questioned Instagram retirement announcement was basically a goodbye to Tampa. And there was very little about the rest of it that was a goodbye to the entirety of his career. We talked about that, whether he meant anything by that or not. Mm. But he said goodbye to Tampa a whole lot in that thing. He didn't touch on the 91% of the rest of whatever it is of the rest of his career quite as much. So to me, that door has remained open at least crack, and he could have
easily. It's like Jerry Jones. We were talking earlier. Jerry Jones has an opportunity to just close the door to all the speculation. Tom also has the opportunity.
All right, I have some breaking news very quickly here. I was just told it. I think we're ready to go with it now. And that is the Cincinnati Bengals have announced that they have signed head coach Zach Taylor to a contract extension through the 2026 season. That's really all the information I have as of right now. But obviously Taylor, who I believe was going into the final year of his deal. Someone tell me if I have that wrong. I'm almost positive that was the situation. Yes, he was going into the final year of his contract. Well, no more. Mm-hmm. He gets an extension now. He did obviously an unbelievable job. They stuck with him through a couple of tough seasons, and he made it pay off in a huge way with a run all the way to the Super Bowl and a lead with 2 minutes left in the game. Mike T is a former GM, let me come to you on that. The coach does the unbelievable job. He's got the 1 year left on his deal. It's sort of like, you know, Joe Flacco once upon a time. You find yourself in the right place at the right time, and he gets the extension.
Greedy, it's a no-brainer because unlike players, coaches can't be franchised. So if he had gotten to the end of this contract, at his age, taken to a team with to a Super Bowl, he would have been an unbelievable coaching free agent. So great move by the Bengals and well-deserved by Zach Taylor.
We have jokingly said that Kimberly Martin is sort of like our Ohio-based reporter because you covered the Bengals and the Browns so much this year. So you've been around Zach Taylor, I know, a fair amount. What can you tell everybody about him? He's not the most high-profile of coaches.
No.
What can you tell folks?
And this is well-deserved because not that long ago, fans in that area were wondering, is he the guy? Should we get rid of Zach Taylor? And it just shows when you have a good head coach, when you have the quarterback, everything is just a little easier. Now, everything isn't solved in Cincinnati, but this team, being as up and down as it was to start the season, Zach Taylor always was even keel, kept them together, Joe Burrow and him. It's good to see them continuing.
He's another member of that Sean McVay coaching tree.
Yeah.
The man has an unbelievable coaching tree for a guy who's 36 years old. McVay is. Taylor's just a few years older. What do you think? Taylor gets the extension.
No, it's a great move. I mean, you look at this team where they were at a couple of years ago.
4-12 last year.
Yes, exactly. Burrow has helped them tremendously. So now go do the right thing and address the offensive line.
Yeah, that's clearly job one. This was the easy part. Keeping Joe Burrow healthy is going to be the most important next piece to the puzzle. Meanwhile, First Take is coming away in just a few minutes here, top of the hour on ESPN. Can the Sixers rely on James Harden late in the postseason? Plus, how did Ben Simmons come across in his Nets introduction? Stephen A., Molly, J. Will, and Chris Mad Dog Russo. Top of the hour on ESPN. Hello again, everybody.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Well, we have another full day of college basketball Saturday on ESPN, and the app starts at noon Eastern. Our final three games are great. 6 Eastern, you got Duke hosting Florida State. Then you got Kansas taking on West Virginia. And finally, Arizona and Oregon in the West Coast primetime games. A great day of hoops we have for you on ESPN and the ESPN app, and we'll see if any of them shoot it any better than I did. Rob Ninkovich seems to be consumed with this video we showed while Adam Silver was on of my performance in the 2014 Celebrity All-Star Game. I've got beautiful form.
Greeny.
No undershirt. Oh, the air ball.
That was a pass. No, Greeny was just trying to confuse you guys.
That was a pass. Right now. They just like, you needed an undershirt. You needed something like underneath the shirt.
I did have a lot of stuff under the shirt, but it didn't cover my arms. But I was trying to show off the, you know, suns out, guns out.
Yeah. Greeny was trying.
You needed some sun on those arms.
February, and I was working in Bristol, Connecticut.
You know,
no sun do you think I was getting on a regular basis?
I feel like you might have a sun lamp or something.
I don't know. I thought I coached way better. Let's go to the coaching video if we can here, guys. My coaching, I thought, Mike T, you would hire this guy.
It looks like you've been there before.
You look like definitely a college basketball coach.
Yeah. Like you coach it like Iona or something.
I tell you what.
You definitely got those vibes.
I'm not going to use any names, but we had a WNBA star on my team who gave up an offensive rebound
and
at the very end. And I asked Carmelo Anthony if I was allowed to be
very supportive.
I love the passion.
I was outstanding coaching by me. I was born to coach. I certainly more than I was
Shoot,
born to
no.
coach.
Coach,
Fun
yes.
day. Thanks, everybody. Hey, don't miss Mad Dog Russo. He's in there with Stephen A. and company starting right now. First Take on ESPN.